Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit is akin to that between Christ and the Father, because all three are persons of the Godhead. They are so united and exist in oneness and entwined that what one does, all three have a part. There is complete harmony and togetherness and cooperation among all members of the Godhead. But there are several revelations about the relationship of Christ and the Holy Spirit of which the Bible speaks, and we learn this information, we are better assisted in understanding deity, at least as much as we possibly can. There was unity and joint action between Christ and the Holy Spirit at the creation in both the material and the spiritual creation. We also read of the prophecies by the Holy Spirit through the inspired writers of the Old Testament of the earthly life of Christ, which was later to become a reality. This shows a direct contact one with the other. The Holy Spirit gave such revelation long before Jesus came to this earth. The Holy Spirit associated with the second person of the Godhead, Christ, after Jesus became flesh and was involved in his earthly ministry. And this association began with the incarnation when Jesus took on the form of humanity. In Luke 1:35, Mary was told, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God." Joseph was told by Gabriel, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 1 and verse 20. Deity miraculously fathered the child Jesus by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was prominent as he accompanied Jesus wherever he went and whatever he did. He was at his baptism. He was at his transfiguration. He led him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, Mark chapter 1. The scripture says that the presence of the Holy Spirit was with Jesus without measure. John 3 and verse 34, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure." That means there was no limitation on the communion between them. But Jesus enjoyed the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to the fullest. The life of Jesus was under control of the Holy Spirit, and he manifested deity to the fullest while he was here upon this earth. Colossians 2 and verse 9, "For in him," that's Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Furthermore, the Holy Spirit aided Christ in executing his earthly work. While Christ was the only member of the Godhead to become flesh, the Father and the Holy Spirit fully shared in all that Jesus did. It was prophesied by Isaiah and recalled by Jesus in Matthew 12 and verse 18 that the Holy Spirit would be with the Messiah while he carried out his work. Matthew 12 and verse 28 shows how Jesus did not cast out demons by the power of Satan. He showed that Satan would not cast out demons because that would be destructive of his own evil kingdom. Therefore, inasmuch as the demons or the devils were being cast out, it is evident that the power by which he was casting them out was not the power of Satan, but the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth, he read from the scriptures, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." And Jesus closed the book and said, "Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears," Luke 4, 18 and verse 21. And by this Jesus acknowledged that he taught and he spake by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 and verse 2, Jesus gave commandment to his apostles through the Holy Spirit. There can be no question as to their harmonious relationship during his teaching, his miracle working, the prophecy fulfilling, the commandment-giving ministry of Christ on this earth. It was so identified with that of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus in death and in his resurrection. Christ shed his blood as an atonement for sin by dying on the cross. His blood became the cleansing power of sin, Hebrews 9:13-14. And this was done through the eternal Spirit. After being buried in the borrowed tomb, Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11. And the crowning work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ the Redeemer. When Christ was promising his apostles the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them and outlining the work of the Holy Spirit, he said, "He, the Spirit, shall glorify me, the Christ." Friend, the relationship between Christ and the Holy Spirit included cooperation in the creation, in prophecy, the incarnation, his earthly ministry, and his glorification. It continues in the teaching of the doctrine of Christ that is done by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Christ revealed deity to man, John 14:8-9. His mission was to do the will of the Father, John 4:34. He also revealed the Holy Spirit. We have a fuller revelation of the Holy Spirit in the teaching of Jesus than any other portion of the Scripture. It is not surprising that this is true, inasmuch as it is said of Jesus that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, Colossians 2:9. Now John records more of the teaching of Jesus pertaining to the Holy Spirit than any other writer. As we noted, Jesus discussed the reality of the Holy Spirit as a person. He revealed the nature of the Holy Spirit, as much as we can know. He outlined the work of the Holy Spirit, particularly the relationship and its purpose between the Holy Spirit and the apostles. And generally speaking, after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit would continue the work that Jesus began while here on this earth, namely, the salvation of mankind. That work would begin with the apostles. And for want of time, instead of quoting the many passages denoting this work, let us only cite to you John 14, John 15, John 16, Luke 24, Acts 1. They all insist how that the Holy Spirit worked through the preaching of the apostles. To summarize, Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that the Holy Spirit would guide them and bring to their remembrance all that Jesus had taught them, that the Holy Spirit would provide them with all truth, and that he would be a comfort to them, to give them power to spread the gospel, enable them to effectively bear witness of the Christ, and to confirm that which they declared. They would soon, after his resurrection and ascension, be baptized or submerged beneath the power of the Holy Spirit. As for the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the world, we read in John 16:7-11 what that relationship is. Jesus outlined the work of the Holy Spirit, the work that the Holy Spirit would do after the departure of the Christ. The fulfillment of these prophecies, friend, began with the apostles on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2. On that day, a Jewish feast day that came some 50 days after the Passover, and some 10 days after Jesus had ascended, the Holy Spirit did come upon the apostles, just as promised. There were physical manifestations of his presence, such as a sound like a mighty wind, and tongues as of fire upon each apostles, and the ability of the apostles to speak in tongues or languages they had heretofore never learned or known, but languages that were audible and understandable to their hearers in the language of their hearers. Acts 1:5 says, as promised, they were baptized of the Holy Spirit. That day, for the very first time, the full and whole truth regarding Jesus of Nazareth being the Christ and the Savior, the Son of God, was proclaimed. By the coming of the Holy Spirit, the apostles sent forth God's plan for the salvation of man through Christ and the beginning of the church or his kingdom that had long been foretold. Now, friend, this topic deserves merit, and we must understand the work of the Holy Spirit So much so that we need to study that sometimes in a different lesson. But the Holy Spirit was said to come to convict the world. Now, we're talking about the relationship just here between the Holy Spirit and the world. The Holy Spirit was to convict, reprove, convince, persuade the world of certain truth. To convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. By the preaching of the Word, through the apostles, as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance, the people were convinced of sin, convinced of righteousness, God's plan for making man righteous, convinced of the coming judgment, hence the necessity to prepare for it. And when people heard that preaching, they asked what they had to do, and Peter told them to repent and to be baptized. By the Holy Spirit, the word was spoken, and people were won to Christ, and salvation through the word, the Holy Spirit continues in that work. In the events of Pentecost, we see the relationship of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We see the relationship between Jesus and the world. We see the establishment of the Lord's church, which he promised himself that he would build upon the fact that he is the Son of God. Yes, all of this is revealed unto us. The magnification and glorification of Christ was the work of the Holy Spirit. The revelation of God's will to man was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture is the product of the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is that by which we have an opportunity to be saved. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.